What a time, what a warm and wondrous time. So sweet a shining moment in the sun. Oh, what a time, was there ever such a time? Then suddenly it's done, the moment passes. Where does the time go? Must we let it end? Where does the time go?
Time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end?
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, our weekly public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. Today is Friday. Well, it's always Friday when we do the show, at least it usually is. We are local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area from WHFR.fm, the station making waves from Henry Ford Community College. All volunteer student staff, with the exception of yours truly and just a couple of others, but we are here to share news and updates. Today is September the 14th. 2001. Remember, this is the day you can pre-order an iPhone 5. That's not a commercial, but we mark these dates in history now by commercial technology issues. So, and my name is Jay Koronick. I'm station advisor, and I'm joined by our WHFR news director, Dennis Reimars. So,
good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes,
we have a really full heck of a show today,
yes,
don't we?
Yes. I'd like to get started. First of all, we decided we are in the process of scheduling as many third-party and political challengers that are going to appear on the November 6th ballot. Big election day. Once every 4 years, it's usually bigger than even once every 2 years. But nonetheless, remember, if you're not registered to vote, you have until October 9th. That's right. That's a Tuesday. It's because I guess Monday is Columbus Day or something. And of course, there was the weekend. So technically, it should have been October 6th, but that fell on a Saturday. So anyway, get to your city clerk's office. Get your friends who are not registered to vote over there at your various township or city hall, city clerk's office. And because if you're not registered to vote, even if you think, well, I don't think I know anything to vote for, something may happen in those 4 weeks and you may discover someone or something to vote for, even if it's only one thing that you say, you know, I'd really like to support that or that candidate. Guess what? You can't if you're not registered.
Right. And it could be something you hear here.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that Monday is a special. What day did you say it is?
It's the 8th of October, but it is Columbus Day.
That's right. That's right.
Honoring Christopher Columbus, of course, who did not really found America, much less the United States. But nonetheless, it's a national holiday. I think it's a bank holiday. So that's why they had to move it all the way to Tuesday, all the way through Tuesday the 9th. But avoid the rush, folks, and
right.
Get registered to vote and put the, you know, Tuesday, November 6th on your calendar. I believe that by October 9th or maybe the 10th, you can get an absentee ballot, too, if you qualify. If you ask for one, say you're going to be out of town, say prove you're a senior. I think that's 60 or 62 or over.
Right.
Or you think you're going to be sick.
And, you know, we started the ball rolling, actually, this past Tuesday on the Dearborn Heights News and Views show.
Yes. We got to mention that Dennis's other great claim to fame here at WHFR, well, there's so many, but he is now the host of the monthly, then it is the second Tuesday of every month now on a regular basis. We're going to do the Dearborn Heights News and Views. Previously, it was once every 3 or 4 months. But by golly, they got stuff happening. And Dennis is not only here as our news director, but also he has a job there in Dearborn Heights city government. Cable TV, amazing, but true. Well, no, they're doing it. It's amazing they have such an active cable television operation. It's not everything it could be, but you know, it's local, and you talk to a lot of the city officials, and you bring up city issues on a number of ways on your cable channel out there. But also, you're still freelancing, or you have again begun freelancing as the Dearborn Heights reporter for the Dearborn Press and Guide.
The Press and Guide.
So you're writing story, but he's sort of forced, therefore, folks, to attend like city council meetings and so on. So I thought, what better person to host the show? And we're going to start it monthly because stuff is happening and we have insiders, not to mention Ned Apigian, one of their council people.
Right.
He's certainly an insider now, and so he's going to participate in the show when possible, when available, and so we hope everybody in Dearborn Heights appreciates that. But, you know, I think even the people in Dearborn and other communities would like to find out what's happening there, what are they doing that's maybe different or better or worse than your community.
Well, not only that, but there's so many, you know, the new model for a lot of city services is merged and shared services, and that's happening on so many different levels. They're talking in Dearborn Heights, of course, about merging their fire services with Garden City. You know, they're already doing a couple emergency. They're doing an emergency share program with Allen Park. Well, we'll get to Allen Park soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But the reality is that the dynamic is so different now than it used to be in the new model. So yeah, there's a lot to talk about on a regular basis, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, no problem at all. Yeah. So let's see here. Well, we wanted to, what I was saying about the election and the fact we're going to try to get both Green Party, Libertarian Party, and some challengers to the Democrat and Republicans scheduled as possible. We have, as they say, feelers out. Seems like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
We have feelers out. Look out, there comes the feeler. And we've invited them. And we know some of the people interviewed here have gotten elected. Is that the WHFR bump? I'd like to believe so, but it, you know, it's free. It doesn't cost them anything, so why wouldn't you choose to come on WHFR? If you're a challenger or a third-party candidate, you need all the help you can get, right? So we'd welcome you, yes, according to time and first come, first served. There's only so many shows until the election, but now through the month of October, we're going to do that. But we thought today, since we don't have someone else scheduled here, we have some stories to give you, but as usual, we're going to try to review the ballot proposals as we know them now. And these are proposals that look pretty definitely now the Michigan Supreme Court has ruled will appear on the ballot. And so first of all, Well, I want to first say that if you're just tuning in, but you happen to have this week's copy of the Dearborn Times-Herald from this last Wednesday, that you could go to their editorial page. They have an editorial from the, of course, not theirs, but from the Livingston Daily Press. It seems that they like to express their opinion, but not so much the Bewicks here in Dearborn, but that's okay. They pick some good editorials, and that's fine. Saves the trouble of writing them yourself, you know. but no, seriously, this one is, it's kind of negative to all the proposals that are on the ballot. And they say, well, other, it's crazy, but their main general thesis is that other people thought of these things, so they're probably not good for you. Excuse me? Just because other people thought of them, they're probably not good for you, the individual? So I guess automatically you should vote no on everything? Now, that's crazy. It's just crazy to have that sort of general assumption. Now, they talk about some details, and they do bring up some points, which I think are mostly invalid. But to have the main general reason why you should almost never support a ballot proposal is that other people thought them up. Well, yeah, well, other people might actually, you know, you might have something in common with them. They might actually have, in this issue, your own concerns satisfied, you know. So that's crazy to just make that assumption because other people thought them up. They must be bad for you. That's just crazy. No, you should always be suspicious of anything. Don't blandly just vote for everything. But by all means, don't assume that because other people thought them up, they must be bad for you. That is pretty crazy.
And there's really no logic.
I don't think I'm exaggerating too much. The words are right there, and that's the Times-Herald editorial from Livingston Press this week. But we can talk about them. But right now, we have from MIRS, M-I-R-S, a Michigan Information Reporting Service. I guess that's what it stands for.
I like it.
In Lansing. They have a great website, which is free to go to. Their actual daily reports and updates and detailed information of the stories are not available unless you subscribe for a ton of money. And I guess a lot of commercial stations might, although you never hear enough Michigan news, insider Lansing legislative news, governor news. But what I did was edit down their report every Monday. It's actually on iTunes Music Store. You can subscribe to this podcast for free. Now, they have certain audio technical quality problems. And as an audio production teacher, I've even sent them an email, and they didn't email me back. I guess they were upset.
Not real big on constructive criticism.
Yeah,
that's okay.
But so this interview that they put in their show Monday is recorded on location somewhere, which is noisy, of course. It's some convention or meeting, and there's a lot of background noise. But I still think you can hear Governor Snyder, and he actually talks about the proposal. So we're going to feature that for you right now. And so take notes. Take notes on this, because we're going to come back and refer to the proposals and Governor Snyder's positions on them and recommendations right after that. So here you go.
What do you think about reports that the ally groups like Crossroads or Governor Romney have pulled out of Michigan?
I wouldn't overread into any of those kind of comments. I think Michigan's a very competitive state, and I think we are a battleground state. And there's a lot of time left, so I think you're going to find people going in and out of various states at various points in time with their media buys. So I wouldn't overread anything into that. I think Michigan's an exciting place to be, and I think Governor Romney's got a good opportunity to win Michigan.
Do you think that the Romney campaign and his allies are investing enough in advertising in Michigan?
Well, again, I'm not here to do their strategy for them. They're good, smart people, and they've got a lot of states they're working in, so I'm sure they're working hard on figuring out the way to do it the best possible method.
Has the Romney campaign asked you to do campaign stuff for them?
Yeah, occasionally they ask for things, and we try to accommodate that whenever possible. Again, I always say my day job is being governor of Michigan, though.
Exactly. What are some of the things that they've asked you to do?
Well, again, I've gone to help introduce them at a couple of the rallies and different events, a campaign office opening. I'm happy to do that when it works well.
How much do you see going forward you doing for the Romney campaign? Are you going to lead any rallies or anything of that nature?
Well, again, it's what they come and ask me to do, and again, I make sure I do my responsibilities as governor first and foremost.
Well, you could argue that you're not as political as most governors would be. You're not out there out front with the Romney campaign at any stop, wearing the T-shirts and the buttons and the stickers.
Well, I'm a big supporter of Governor Romney, but what I would say is I just have my own way of doing things, and relentless positive action is my methodology, and I'm happy to help people whenever I can, and this is a good cause.
Do you like these politics, these presidential politics?
Well, again, as I've enjoyed it for years. I told the story about how I went to a convention 30-some years ago for President Ford. So I've had some background, but there's a lot of issues in Michigan. So, again, that's my primary focus, is making sure Michigan's the comeback state.
We are, and
we're going to continue on that path.
Telling the members about the proposal, the ballot proposals that we know are going on the ballot right now, particularly the labor proposal, the bridge proposal, and the tax proposal.
Yeah, it's easy. No. You know, put it in a very simple sense. The first thing is when they're all constitutional amendments. And I hope people always stop and very carefully consider any measure that talks about amending our Constitution. Because if you look at many of the activities that are being discussed, that's the point of having a governor and a legislature to take on those responsibilities and handling them. Because if you put them in the Constitution, it can really create a lot of issues for a very long period of time. And then you look at the specific issues. I don't support any of those, but three in particular, but any of the ballot proposals. The only one I believe there should be a yes vote on, in my own personal perspective, is the emergency manager law, which is a good law. It made major improvements in terms of an early warning system to help avoid emergency managers. And if you have a manager, it allows them to get their job done better and faster and get out and get it back to the community.
If asked, would you be on a TV commercial for the two-thirds urging a no vote?
Well, again, I haven't been asked. That's a hypothetical.
But they would really like your support, I'm told.
My perspective on that is I don't think the two-thirds proposal is a good one. The theory about managing taxes, because we've done a good job, I believe, in reducing tax burden in Michigan already, and I have no intention of raising taxes in Michigan, but there's unintended consequences to a proposal like that, in the sense that if you're looking at doing tax reform where you want to do many different pieces, sometimes you look at reducing a rate. You may have to increase a base in some fashion and do a better, fairer tax system. That wouldn't be possible without the two-thirds vote, even though you may be putting in a net tax reduction, just because you couldn't raise that base under the way this is worded. So those are the kind of complexities that I'm not sure people really worked through or thought about with a proposal like that.
Governor, in May you had said that in all likelihood your transportation proposals would need to wait until next year. Now the Senate is looking at getting some of that going, and with the two-thirds proposal looming out there, would you like to see a push now for that in, you know, before the end of the year, given the possibility that it could be much more difficult to achieve next year with the two-thirds proposal?
Well, I think the main thing is it's not about rushing anything, but I think it's important they're going to start the process of doing hearings and the normal process, and so I'm supportive of the process that's in place. We have the issue on the ballot that could make it a different discussion or a more challenging discussion in some ways, but as a practical matter, it's more important we follow a good process that gets our citizens involved in a good dialogue with hearings and different things. So I'm happy with how things are going.
If it passes, you have, I think, 45 days before it takes effect. Would you ask the legislature to try to get it done in November or December?
Well, again, I don't want to get into hypotheticals on ballot proposals passing or not passing. As a practical matter, lame duck can be a challenging time period anyway, and it's not a good time to rush legislation. If it's ready to go because they've done the hearings the right way and people are comfortable, it could go in the natural course of things. If it's not ready, it should wait.
But if you don't push it, it's a dead duck.
Well, again, we're not going to over-engineer things here. There's a good process and a good way to do things, and I focus on good public policy.
In terms of your agenda for this day here, this convention, how high a priority is talking to the members of the party about the two-thirds tax proposal and asking them not to support it? How high a priority is that to you?
Well, today, if people ask me, I'm not going around making statements on any particular proposal. A lot of times I'm going to be walking around the floor talking to people, and if they ask, I'm happy to share my view. And again, my general view is yes on the emergency manager proposal and no on everything else. I think it makes it a lot simpler than trying to get into each particular one.
What is your top priority message for today?
Well, I already gave my talk. It's really about, if you look at Washington, it's a mess. And if you looked at Michigan in 2010, it was a very similar kind of situation in terms of issues. And I'm very proud to say I think we're a role model for what Washington needs to do. We took on the issues of balancing a budget, of dealing with long-term liabilities, of tax reform, of regulatory reform. And so I'm proud of what we've accomplished. We still got a lot more work to do, but we're a great role model for what D.C. needs to do.
Last question. Are you taking sides on O'Brien, Markey?
Colleen O'Brien. Yeah, I think she would be a great choice, so I'm very supportive of Colleen's candidacy.
Do you have any thoughts on the growing influence of the Tea Party and these conventions?
Well, again, it's part of democracy.
They're taking the party pretty right, though.
It's part of democracy. Again, if you look, I think I got a pretty good reception. And again, I'm just talking about jobs and kids. And I think those are the main issues still on Michiganders' minds. And that's what I encourage anyone running for office in Michigan to focus on, are jobs and kids.
Thanks,
guys.
Dick Cheney is known to snarl much more than he smiles. But the former VP and ex-oil executive must be grinning from ear to ear now that Mitt Romney has issued his energy plan. By his, I mean Cheney's, the one he drafted in secrecy with a cabal of industry chieftains a decade ago. They couldn't get all of their agenda enacted, however, so imagine their excitement over Romney's recent proposal, which out-Cheney's Cheney. In a breathtaking surrender of America's energy future to big oil profiteers, Romney revives the maniacal fervor of the drill baby drill crowd. He pushes fracking with a vengeance, runs the filthy XL pipeline right through the heart of America, zeroes out federal tax credits for wind and solar alternatives to oil, and maintains the $4 billion a year subsidy for oil corporations, among other giveaways. Then he doubles down on energy stupidity by undoing Teddy Roosevelt's logical decision that our national lands should be under the control of, well, national policymakers. Instead, capitulating to industry's wildest dream, Romney would cede control over drilling and mining on nationally owned public land to the various states, most of which are run by industry-coddling corporate finance politicians. It's like asking a coyote to guard your last lamb chop. Who wrote this plan? Harold Hamm, for one, CEO of Continental Resources, an oil and gas fracking corporation. This Oklahoma billionaire chairs Romney's Energy Advisory Committee. A campaign aide insists that Hamm and other industry executives, who showered Romney with over $10 million in campaign funds in August alone, were allowed to write the policy not as payback, but simply to tap their expertise. This is Jim Hightower saying, expertise at serving their own interests.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Well, there we have Governor Snyder, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, being interviewed in a noisy situation somewhere, but we hope you heard the fact that he actually wants a yes vote to retain Emergency Manager Law Number 2, and I say it that way because it is. It's the strengthened version of Emergency Manager Law that we already have in our Constitution. Jennifer Granholm used it once. But this one was Public Act Number 4, as it was called, from 2011. So it was just into Snyder's office, and they passed it and they signed it to allow him to jump in, first of all, anytime he wants to. He says, oh, it strengthened the previous emergency manager law. Yeah, it says basically anytime he declares that a city is in trouble, he can send somebody in, and that person, besides coming up with a new financial plan, can immediately, if he wants to, get rid of all agreements, all legal agreements. Everything can be gone, and this person has to take no input and have, therefore, no respect for any of the elected officials from the city, which means democracy, forget about it. Legal contracts, forget about them, okay? Even if there was good reason, and arbitration, mediation, compromise that brought them about, forget about them all. Okay? That's what's so terrible. And I'd like to go right to Jim Hightower. You just heard him talking about the Romney's energy proposal to let the states decide their energy plans. Well, that's going to be a disaster. There's so many things that the federal government just needs to set the criteria for and let it be done. And I've gone over and over this. I'm not a believer, believe it or not, in big government. But there's some things in a well-run capitalistic society that the federal government does have to set the rules for and make them consistent across the whole United States so all businesses and all people, wherever they are, can understand what they are. One is a good NRA position, for example. Little example here. Right. that all gun ownership laws should be the same in all states, that for concealed carry, for registration, whatever. But because we do move from state to state, and all of a sudden those people that might have guns find out they're in a totally different legal situation. They get sent to jail or something because they were either carrying their weapon, which was legal to do in another state, whether it was concealed or not, or firing it in an inappropriate time or place. So there has to be some consistent standards on many things countrywide. You may disagree. There may be some exceptions. But in this case, with energy policy, to let the states do it, that's not transparent enough for me. That, as he says, too many backyard deals. And here is Jim Hightower in his September lowdown newsletter. And you can go to his website, jimhightower.com, and read it yourself. You don't have to subscribe. But here's the storyline. It says, it might seem familiar to you. With economic pain and political discord ripping across the land, Mitt Romney appeared to have the ideal resume to become the Republican contender for the top job, not just another career political from a dysfunctional Congress. He was son of Heartland, Michigan, who had founded his own venture capital firm. He looked like the image person job creator. Okay? Well, as Hightower said, Mitt Romney, yes, but before him, Rick Snyder played the lead. Rick Snyder, here he is mentioned in a national newsletter. Good for Rick Snyder. Okay. Played the lead role in this made-for-TV political drama and hasn't worked out well at all for the people of Michigan. Okay? In other words, you thought that was Mitt Romney that I was describing before?
Yeah, I did.
Well, it was. But guess what? It's also Rick Snyder's bio. That he has an investment capital firm. Yeah, and he's the son of a Michigander. Okay, too. Okay. 2 years ago, this former corporate chieftain, Rick Snyder, and founder of two venture capital outfits, stepped into Michigan's political arena, snatching the GOP gubernatorial nomination from the grasp of a congressman, the state attorney general, and a couple of other experienced politicians. The times were right for a Mr. Fix-It. With Michigan's key auto industry in the ditch and middle-class wages decimated, working families were struggling. Poverty was on the rise, and whole cities were on the brink of broke. I like that phrase, brink of broke.
I think you need a little more of a southern accent when you're doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have that Austin, Texas accent. I may pick it up, though, next month when I visit there. Anyway, backed by bales of corporate cash, Snyder won the general election by ceaselessly running a series of quote-unquote job creator ads. And in parentheses, Hightower says, never mind that he had been a top executive and director of a computer corporation that relentlessly shipped thousands of American jobs out of the country until 2007, when the corporation itself was shipped to Taiwanese owners. That's Gateway Computers.
Sure.
Only sold now, I think, on QVC.
Yeah, you definitely don't see them.
Right. Snyder said he had a plan to, quote, reinvent Michigan, unquote, the essence of which he expressed in one of his campaign ads, quote, eliminate Michigan business tax, cut taxes on job creators, $1.5 billion, slash needless regulations, help small business, unquote. Hightower says that's not a plan, it's a scam. Essentially the same of old Republicans, same old, now being regurgitated by the Romney-Ryan duo. However, Michiganders were desperate enough for a way out of the state's economic doldrums that 58% of voters cast their ballots that November for the, quote, businessman with a plan, unquote. What they didn't know, Hightower continues, because the campaign never hinted at it, much less spoke of it out loud, was that the cabal... That's a big, high-level conspiracy of people, okay, of corporate-funded far-right extremists behind Snyder would soon spring a secret plan on them. It was to be a horrific, quote-unquote, spring surprise that literally would reinvent Michigan along with negating the very idea that the American people have a democratic right to be self-governing. One of our nation's finest political satirists, cartoonist Gary Trudeau, has created a buffoonish character named Triff Bzukabicket for his Doonesbury comic strip. There's no vowels in there, folks. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it starts with a B, his last name. A character of despotic thugs everywhere, Bzukabicket, is presented by the Trudeau as the reader of the aptly named Greater Berserkistan.
Is that a name of a country?
Well, if you're berserk, That's where you live.
Okay.
Yeah. Rick Snyder must have studied there, goes on Hightower, for he had barely taken his oath of office before suddenly teaming with leaders of the Republican-controlled State House and Senate to ram into law an astonishing measure of despotic rule. It only took 2 weeks in March of 2011, and this is Public Act 4, people. This is emergency law number 2, as I call it, because it is... It's not the only one we have. It's this new one that they added these onerous regulations to. And it was titled the Local Government and School District Fiscal Accountability Act. Isn't that sweet? That is Public Act number 4.
That softens it a lot.
Yeah, and it was rushed through both houses of the legislature and signed by Snyder. Before the public knew it, bam, the governor was authorized to establish his own autocratic republic, Michiganistan. Okay, that's what he calls it, Michiganistan. Like it. Because, you know, we think of all these Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, and whatever, all the other Middle and Eastern, actual Middle Eastern countries that end in Istan, you know. And we think of them as autocratic, if not tyrannical, okay? Sure. And they are, because they're tribal and they're, you know, hierarchical and so on. There's not much democracy there, you have to admit.
Right.
And so when he says Michiganistan, that's what he's referring to. Sure. At bottom, this Public Act number 4, Emergency Manager Law number 2, as I call it, is a doozy of autocratic mischief-making. And this, folks, has been reported not only by Rachel Maddow on MSNBC for more than a year, but also in the national press. And we're talking about Michigan, and particularly Benton Harbor, that got one of the first of these autocratic emergency managers, which is still under, 6 or 7 years later? No democracy, no elections, one guy appointed by the governor, because he said, why? Because he says so, to have all the power to run that place. And the major thing they've done there, they've built a golf course and a resort for the rich. That's what they did. That's what they did.
Which created job opportunities, probably minimum wage job opportunities.
All just minimum wage
job
opportunities. Or less, because if it's not any sort of national trade involved, they can pay less than minimum wage.
Not only that, but I mean, some of them are like servers and bartenders and things like that.
Right.
That make...
They clean up the bathrooms. Yes.
Right. But it's work. It's work.
Yeah, it's work. Not that you can survive on it, but anyway, at bottom, they say this is a doozy, this law of autocratic mischief-making. It lets the governor seize control of any local government he deems to be in fiscal trouble. That is, any local government he says. You don't have to be bankrupt. Any law he says. Any city he says. Suspend the people's democratic authority. Impose a corporatized version of martial law and install his quote-unquote own emergency financial manager to govern by diktat, and that's an interesting word. I never saw it written out. I've just heard it. D-I-K-T-A-T. And he says, like some hybrid of Soviet czar and tin horn potentate. In other words, like the Trudeau character, cartoon character. Yeah, the official rationale is that many Michigan cities and school districts are in dire financial straits, requiring extraordinary intervention to, quote-unquote, save them from their own people and elected officials. It's about helping communities, Snyder dissembled as he began installing EFMs. Helping? This is the kind of help a fox brings to the hen house.
Oh, geez.
Okay. And he goes into great detail on that. And how can we follow up here? I mean, he talks about Pontiac, which is still under an EFM. Benton Harbor, what we just talked about.
Flint.
Flint, of course. And Detroit has, and many cities have emergency financial managers just for their schools. Okay. Which also... It's not really, you know, school districts are not considered part of the city. I mean, they're in the city, but they're not part of the city. So the governor now can put EFMs in for school districts whenever he wants to, as well as city governments, and forget about democracy. And for how long? We don't know. How long does it take to make that luxury resort and golf course in Benton Harbor profitable enough that they'll pull back their EFM? Why should they? Why should they take away all that power to do anything they want to do? And what the public wants to do in Benton Harbor doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter at all. They have no legal right to say yay or nay to anything. And no. that goes for the other cities. And, of course, what just happened 2 days ago? What new city has Snyder declared potential for his next EFM?
Allen Park.
Yeah. Where's the story, Dennis?
It is.
It's right there.
Right there, I believe.
I'll grab it.
Yeah. And this has been going on for quite a while. And, you know, the mayor is so opposed to this. And we know what had happened there in the beginning of the downfall was with, the, what is it called, the Lifton Institute.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's their effort to have a film studio there, which they invested.
Unity. That's what it was.
Yeah, Unity Studios, which they put 10, 12 million in, 22 million in, whatever. They still owe 11 million apparently, and they'd really have to raise taxes or whatever. But maybe they could figure out a way to do it. You know, that remains to be seen. But Snyder has already given his edict, and the city has 10 days. And this was from the 7th. Okay, so it's a week old right now. So they have only 3 more days to request a hearing. Now, what good is the hearing? Because the governor can just come in and take it over anyway. Well, so the hearing won't prevent anything. But they can have a public hearing and say, yay or nay, you really shouldn't do it. And maybe the governor will listen. But he doesn't have to listen. He can just appoint someone and bam, gone goes the mayor there and all the elected officials and maybe all the union contracts until they come up with a new plan. Now, I don't know that the mayor's incompetent. Okay, he didn't know anything about film studios, and I do. I'm sorry to say, it was my job for 40 years to teach about film and film history and film studios, the business side even. Gets me choked up thinking about it here. So other than his making a bad decision about this come from nowhere producer who says he wants to put up the studio and wants all the money given to him. And, you know, other than that, I don't know that maybe the mayor and the city council there can't pull themselves out of it. Oh, it's going to be tough. Talk about belt tightening, you know. But let's get everybody together down there. They haven't had a chance to do that yet. I know that they're on the edge. But Snyder, you know, he's saying we're going to move in there and we're going to clean things up. And yeah, but how long are you going to stay there? 7 years?
Until it's done. Until the job is done.
And so how many cities do we have in this situation? You know, we've got... We get 7, 8 cities. We get 3, 4 school districts and more coming under managers here. Don't you see this trend, folks? And who in fact is funding Snyder? The Koch brothers. That's K-O-C-H. You can call them Koch brothers if you want to, but
Koch,
I think it's
right.
Or Koch. But I'll call them Koch brothers. They're two big billionaires. Primarily got rich in silver and I think oil, if not natural gas, but silver investments.
Okay.
Although they also got burned for a while when silver dipped a few years ago. But they have big political PACs, PACs, investing money, primarily from them, hundreds of millions of dollars coming out to win political victories. And the Republicans have had this plan for years, ever since Katrina. And this has been well written about by Naomi Klein and others in books, for God's sake, to detail this sort of national plan the Republicans have. Well, if we cause a crisis by cutting budgets, okay, in certain ways, or not helping to extra fund certain things, and we cause a crisis ourselves, or Mother Nature does, then we can move in and take over everything, sweep the decks, and people will say, oh, we're saviors. But in fact, what are your result? What's the result? The result is here, and it hasn't been proven otherwise yet anywhere, is dictatorship. Okay, we're talking about, yeah, I'll use the word fascist. That's right. That's where one person plays dictator and you do it his way, or you get the highway, or you get jail, or whatever. In other words, you're totally cut out. And so the trend continues, and it's only 1 year after emergency law number 2. Okay, and you say, oh, are we better off now than before? Well, these cities aren't. The workers in these cities aren't. The democracy is not better off for any of these cities. And it looks like it may not be ending. I mean, okay, you might say, well, what about that Belle Isle? Well, a lot of people are mad about the state taking it over at the state park and charging a $10 per person once a year fee.
Right.
Or is that $10 a car? Anyway, it might be a permit for your whole car or
right.
your whole family.
So the state parks.
I don't know, but I think the state parks do that. $10, give me a break. That's 2 lattes for those of us that do that crazy stuff. That's nothing to support Belle Isle the way it deserves. You think Detroit has any money to do it? Of course they don't. I can't believe that little meeting that is just a small little meeting, but they put it on TV between Bing. It was at some church,
sure.
And he got yelled down about this $10 fee and how dare you let it happen. Well, the city is in deep doo-doo. And how did that happen? It wasn't all Bing's fault, let's not forget. But in that regard, yeah, let the state, who knows how to run state parks, as long as they don't cut the purse strings on state parks, do it. And let's include it in that same permit. Will that same permit, Dennis, have you read that same permit will also apply to other state parks?
It definitely,
or only
Only
Belle Isle.
Only Belle Isle. Okay. Because by definition, if you already have that on your license plate or a sticker, mm-hmm. you'd be able to use it in Belle Isle, and that's not the case.
No.
I have a question for you regarding this. Mm-hmm.
So it's really more a user fee, not just encouraging people from Benton Harbor to come here.
No. Okay. I have a really quick question.
Yeah.
You have a really good point here, and obviously I'm looking right at a summary of the proposals from MLive.
Yeah. And we want to talk a little bit about each of them before the end
right,
of the hour.
But my question about this is because one of the first things regarding this referendum on Public Act 4 says that Public Act 4, should it pass, if people approve this law, and that's important, mm-hmm. the wording is important, yeah. establish criteria to assess the financial condition of local government units, including school districts. Mm-hmm. Nowhere could I find anything that said that they would have an assessment or a criteria for leaving that city. There was nothing firm that said based on this or based on an improvement of such, nothing.
I mean, you got to be scared already that they've been there 7 or maybe 8 years now in Benton Harbor and at least 4 or 5 in Pontiac. They're not leaving.
No.
They're not leaving. And what about Detroit Public Schools? How long have they aren't they on second or third financial manager for the schools there?
Third, yeah.
And they're going to get a financial manager as soon as they stop dicking around. And as soon as we find out about this law and the proposal, which it's suspended right now, folks, that no more emergency financial managers can be appointed until after November 6th.
Right.
And you have to say, yes, I love emergency financial manager number 2. Or you say, no, I don't want that.
Right.
And one of the I know it's going to be a campaign thing on TV, you know, sound bites.
The confusion.
Yeah, confusion. Because, no, but they're going to say, and it's already been said on TV about this, that, you got to have emergency financial manager law to help the cities when they need help. We already have one originally, but it respects democracy and it respects
the elected
officials and the contracts,
sure.
which can be modified and renegotiated under this person.
Absolutely.
But what we had before Public Act number 4 was good enough. So you want to vote no in order to get rid of Public Act number 4, this very undemocratic, very, very dangerous law that's in place now. So you have to vote no if you want to get rid of that.
Right.
So you say, well, I want to repeal it. I'm going to vote yes. No. The way it has to be phrased by our Constitution right now is if you want to repeal a law, you have to vote no to that law. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Sure.
Now, the other things, all the other proposals on there, and they are the 25 by 2025, the future international crossings between Michigan and other countries, collective bargaining provision, the 2/3 simple majority to approve a tax hike, and collective bargaining for healthcare workers.
Specifically.
Yeah. That's a debated category, whether or not they can even be a union.
Sure.
Governor Snyder has said no, vote no to all those, but vote yes to continue my emergency manager law, which is actually number 2, and that's the despotic and dictatorial one that has no constraints whatsoever. I mean, how did he choose Alan Park? Well, obviously, Alan Park in the news, it seems like they got an $11 million deficit. But he says he can set criteria. He can set any criteria he wants to. Sure, he's got to set criteria. But he can set any criteria he wants to, and he can keep them there as long as he wants. So there's no criteria about, you might say, the end game or when to get out of the war. I mean, of the management situation.
We have to remember something very important about the city of Allen Park. City Council wanted this not too long ago. Some of the members, I won't say all, but several of the members were in favor and actually asked for review by the state. And the mayor said, you do not want to do this.
Right. Right. Now, in terms of the first emergency manager law, there's nothing bad about the first one to invite someone in to be a consultant to make the tough decisions that might need to be made,
sure.
still respecting the elected officials, and they still have their input, and still respecting the contracts in place, which can be renegotiated maybe, considering situations. That's all intelligent and friendly. And yes, it'll take a little bit longer than somebody coming in as a dictator. As they said about Mussolini in Italy in the 1930s, and he was a dictator.
Sure.
Everybody will agree. He was a big-time fascist. He made the trains run on time.
Well, there you go.
You had no personal freedoms, no free speech, nothing. But he made the trains run on time, and he started ridiculous wars like in Ethiopia.
Sure.
Because you know that Italy was really threatened by Ethiopia. in the 30s. Because they were, first of all, about 2,000 miles away. Yeah. And, you know, that's just a, you know, a couple weeks trip.
That's sarcasm.
For people who are only can walk or they got paddle boats, you know, to come up the Mediterranean to Italy with. And you know, their military, their weapons of mass destruction were bows and arrows, spears and stones. So Italy had a lot to be worried about. And I'm just saying, he was a dictator. He wanted to show off. I got to win a battle. I think I'll invade Ethiopia. And he did. And he killed tens of thousands of these poor Ethiopians for no reason at all. Does that sound familiar, folks? Iran, Vietnam. I'm sorry. Did I say Iran and Vietnam? Did I say Afghanistan? I didn't say Afghanistan.
No.
But I could.
The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at the college or WHFR.
Thank you. Right. And certainly not Snyder's opinions. No.
No, I think that's a fair statement.
No, I mean, not anyone's opinion. But you decide. You do the research. We're not telling you how to vote here. We would never do that.
No.
But we want to give you more and background information so you're going to make a good choice one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, if you like dictatorship, you got to vote yes. You want to keep the emergency manager law number two, as I call it. And if you want to have democracy, as difficult as it is, but still emergency manager help when needed, when there's a good reason, like bankruptcy officially, or request from the city council itself,
sure.
Then you keep the one we have and you vote. If you want the first emergency manager law, you have to vote no. You got to turn down the second one
right. That
is in place now, which is the dangerous one. Okay, let's move on.
Proposal number two regarding collective bargaining. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, yes, it would embed, that is, make part, all these others actually go into the Constitution. In fact, the editorial in changed the Michigan Constitution, okay? Remember, in our collective wisdom, we, the voters of Michigan, said, our Constitution is great. We don't have to change anything, we don't think. Of course, we haven't looked at it, but you're giving us a chance, this was in 2010, to decide if we want to have, for the first time in 16 years, a review by intelligent people who are not current politicians to decide if we need constitutional revision. Okay, but rather than have that happen, we voted it down. I mean, the Constitution allows a chance for sensible, almost independent, but you know a lot of people are going to get elected to that group after if that would have passed to review the Constitution and maybe propose revisions. They're going to be former politicians, of course, but none, and Granholm wanted to be on it. but my point is that we said no. So now a couple of burning issues after 16 years have come to the forefront. And these things are endangered, or they're issues that need to move us into the future, according to their supporters. And one of them is collective bargaining.
Sure.
Everyone should have the right to have a union representing them. Okay, if majority votes to have a union representing the workers at any organization, okay, then they should have a union, a spokesperson, people organized to rationally present your needs and to finally complete a formal agreement. And this is not just for wages, folks, okay, or benefits. This is for, and I speak as a union member here, a union teacher member for all my life, for more than 40 years, and coming from a union family, from my dad worked for Chrysler Corporation on the line, as they say, until it nearly killed him. There's legal protection too. If the corporation, if the owners can do anything to you, like unjustly dismiss you, it is really hard unless you have a union to get your job back.
True.
Because you have to come up with all the money yourself to hire a lawyer.
And that could take years.
And it can take a fortune. And
absolutely,
you don't have that. So you can't fight the power, the legal power, of any company, even a small business, unless you have a union that's representing you and you had a formal contract in the first place. And that union and all the members can chip in to pay the money to get the legal help you need. But sure, but there's negotiation. There's give and take on both sides. I only see compromise there. I don't see any union dictating anything. And all the union giveaways for the auto company, and that should show that the unions will respect desperate budget times.
My question to you is should the now okay the way the summary of proposal number two regarding the collective bargaining is worded is that this proposal, should it pass, would invalidate existing or future state or local laws yep. that limit the ability to join unions and bargain collectively. Should the proposal one, the law of the emergency financial manager two, pass, mm-hmm. yet the proposal regarding collective bargaining also passes, which would they be able to come in and get rid of the contracts?
And every proposal that goes into the Constitution, even things in the Constitution now, can be challenged in court again.
Gotcha.
And this happened with, you remember, the referendum about marijuana for medical purposes.
Absolutely.
It did pass in the state, and they're still fighting it out in courts what the hell that means.
Right.
And how it should exist. And cities have filed suit against it, like Dearborn, oh, we don't want the businesses as a storefront.
Dispensary,
or
sure.
they have to be in certain areas of, mm-hmm. you know, slum areas, or I don't, you know, all kinds of regulations. And so some of these things, of course, I know, but if it's a good purpose in general, it'll be worked out eventually, okay? And I'm not afraid of collective bargaining, because as a union member, and I've done the research and I've looked at history, unions are nothing but good, except there's always excesses and some bad ones. I can mention a few politicians who weren't particularly honest and fair, and you know, I can mention a lot of them. I
sure.
can mention certain presidents of the United States that were found to be corrupt and were you know, even President Clinton has had his problems. But what the reason this is coming about, folks, and why it's needed is there are certain people that want to pass an amendment to our Constitution to basically allow it. Corporations to easily outlaw any unions, and that's called right to work, which is one of those really distracting phrases for the rules that most Republicans want to put in place in Michigan. Now, Snyder has always been against a right to work constitutional amendment, which can be passed by the legislature. It doesn't need the people, just 2/3 of each or more or less, I don't know.
But that won't be on this.
No. Right to work won't be there because Snyder didn't want it. Good. He said it would cause too much trouble, and unions aren't all that bad after all. Besides, if we can go in as emergency financial managers, we can just dissolve them anyways.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about it.
You guys
it,
do
you
whatever know. You want.
All we need is that emergency manager law right. number two to stay in effect. I can just get rid of unions right and left anytime I want. Okay. At least public unions.
Sure.
Public unions. Okay, they have to do with the city. It's because of the threat of right to work, which would put so many other people without even recourse to a union, and maybe they wouldn't even realize when they need it. Most people don't even know they need a union, okay? They don't even know what a union could do for them that would be any good, okay? I'm sorry, but we can't go into that story right now. Maybe we'll have to do a pro-union show. Not a pro-union examination. What do unions do? I'm not sure it's even taught in the schools appropriately.
Right.
Because unions are a part of our history since about 1850, and they're an essential part of what makes America great. And I know there's only like a fraction of the workers today, not a majority, that have unions even. And that's because of a lot of bad things happening in our society and our political situation, not because unions have been bad, per se.
But unions can get very, very powerful.
They can get powerful. They can get too powerful. But I think government is always more powerful and therefore more of a threat to us if we're not careful. Libertarians would agree with that.
Do you want to look at number three?
Yes. Moving on.
This one bugs me a little bit because it just feels like a no-brainer.
Snyder railed against it in the first 10 minutes. So you can go back to our podcast on our website and re-listen to the show sometime after we're done broadcasting live today.
Yeah, don't go now.
The 2/3 supermajority to approve a tax hike. That's impossible, folks. Okay. And you say, well, we just... You know, if we can't raise taxes, then that's good to go, and they can just shut down government. No, sometimes, as Snyder said, you don't want to have that restriction. First of all, you can never get 2/3 agreement on anything. You want gridlock? You want more gridlock than we have now? Pass this for Michigan, because sometimes things that are called taxes are not taxes. Grover Norquist, he's this independent person who got most of the Republicans in Congress in Washington to sign this pledge never to raise taxes ever. Well, the Obama administration said, well, okay, to be fair, we understand that, and okay, we sort of respect you, but don't understand. What about closing loopholes? I mean, these crazy exemptions and exceptions to paying the taxes everybody really should pay. And we're talking about certain, you know, special rules that were passed for certain businesses and certain individuals and in certain situations. And do we really need all those exemptions and exceptions? Well, the fair tax people, a lot of them Republicans, including and libertarians, too, they said that's good. Let's close those loopholes and make it consistent and flat and fair in one way or the other. Okay, guess what, folks? Grover Norquist has told them, no, close a tax loophole, and in effect, those individual people or individual companies will have to pay more money, so that's an increase. You can't do it. Oh, so fairness is against your principles, Mr. Norquist. That's great. That's really wonderful. I don't think we need that at all. We need the fairness and those. So the two-thirds majority, number one, you can almost get no one, even Robert's Rules of Order, which is an interesting document about how to run a meeting.
Sure.
Two-thirds are almost never asked for. Why? Because you can almost never get them.
Exactly.
I mean, we're talking about the kind of consensus that almost never happens in a democracy. That's why majority of those voting is what needs to be in place to get the job done. And so, Snyder, I totally agree with him here. He said, you can't have that. You just can't do that, because how do you define tax? And maybe there's a situation, an emergency in the future. We just got to do it even temporarily. We can't do it. Plus, we can never do it with two-thirds majority anyway, but we can't do it. So it doesn't give government the flexibility there. Sure, we should have lower taxes. Everybody knows that. But how are you going to pay for it, first of all? And how are you going to make it more fair? Okay, so, but I agree with him there.
But that'll trick people, don't you agree? Because people will see that, especially if they're not as informed, and they'll say, oh, I don't want, good, there's something that'll hold
back. Yeah, or hold back taxes, yeah.
No, mine are out of order. My proposal
well,
is for you.
Yeah, but I don't know which is which one okay. on the ballot, but should we have any more international crossings that can be set up by the legislature and or the governor? Well, if you believe Mehdi Maroon, who owns the Ambassador Bridge, and he's been lying. That's right. He's been lying about the cost of the second bridge, which is going to happen no matter how you vote on this proposal that he got on the ballot himself. Yeah. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly had an email from August 20th.
From an objective.
It's on the website.
Right. That's an objective.
Objective because he attached a public news story from Michigan Public Radio,
right.
And they're objective. You know, oh, public radio, they're all liberals. Not necessarily. They got the facts here. So he's just saying, look, and he says, these ads are spreading misinformation. That's the Maroon ads about the new international trade crossing. He says, just how inaccurate are these ads? The Michigan Truth Squad, which is an independent, nonpartisan third party, which analyzes claims like this, found the ads hit a new low. So the John Babao of the Truth Squad says, quote, we have been following these bridge ads for more than a year, and they are flagrant in their intentional errors. Lies, folks. I'll use the word lies. That they are putting out there time and time again in ad after ad.
And that's an independent organization.
Right. I know some people still think, oh, if it's on TV, it must be true.
Right.
Absolutely not. There is freedom of speech. So in these political ads, these people can lie as much as they want to. And if you hear it, you might think it's true, and it's not true. And, you know, but he can't stop Canada paying the full cost in building the bridge, the second bridge. That is going to go through no matter how you vote. So it really doesn't matter how you vote. But do you want to prevent Michigan and or the U.S. and Canada from building a third, a fourth, or fifth bridge? What do we got to fear from Canada? Are they going to invade us and take over America? No. Is there a lot of immigrant Alaskans, or not Alaskans, what do they call their native peoples, that are going to come down here and look for jobs? No. You know, there's no danger. There's just more business, more interaction with Canada, a very good, nice country. Remember, they're one of our allies? And they even have, if you like Snyder, take a look at their prime minister. Oh, my God, is he a conservative? So there's nothing to fear, Republicans, here. And yes, we will pay what we normally would pay to use the bridge to go back and forth, just like we're paying Maroon now when we go back and forth on his so-called ambassador bridge. Okay, so that's it. That's it. There's no other cost to us. And why is Canada doing it? Because they're going to make a profit. They're going to get more business. And we're going to have more chance to travel to Canada and explore their country, which is a really nice place. And I think it's all good here. So you might as well vote no on his proposal, just like Snyder recommends. First of all, because he's supported with nothing but lies. And secondly, because it's self-interest and trying to protect continuation of profits that he's making from the Ambassador Bridge. And thirdly, I forget. I'm just so mad about that.
Well, he wants a monopoly on it. But here's what Snyder said yesterday at the West Michigan Policy Forum in Grand Rapids. He said, "We're building a bridge to create jobs with no obligation to Michigan taxpayers," Snyder said. "Tell your friends and neighbors that they should support the bridge and why. It's word of mouth because we don't have a campaign budget like they do," they being Maroon. Yeah. He said, "We shouldn't let one special interest override the best interests of 10 million Michiganders."
Exactly. Yep. But it really won't matter to this bridge. But why do you want to prevent future crossings if we need them, bridges, tunnels, whatever, to go to a vote of the people? Why do you need that? What are you afraid of? And again, the argument that the people should vote on that is just bogus. You've got government. Let government do something. I know it hasn't done much recently to favor all the people. But nonetheless, give us a break here. The only reason that the legislature in Michigan hasn't supported Snyder and Governor Granholm, hit the microphone.
Sorry. Yeah, well, he's getting excited here, folks.
I'm gesticulating. good thing we don't have video cameras on me here.
That you know of.
They'd see what the gesture really is. You know, which we can't describe on the radio.
No.
But, you know, when somebody lies so blatantly, you've got to be suspicious. You've got to vote no, just like Governor Snyder says. This is almost, except for the Republicans who are heavily thankful in the Michigan legislature for Maroon's tens of thousands of dollars of campaign contributions that he's made over the last couple of years to solidify his support. Except for those people, and you know why they're voting the way they are. They want that money coming in from Maroon. I don't think they're thinking straight. They're not thinking straight as a businessman would, which is Snyder. And they're not thinking straight as what's good for the people, as Governor Granholm did, I think.
Right.
And all the Democrats who were voting for it consistently and constantly, but they're not in the majority. Well, we're going to move on. We've just got a few minutes left on the Journal, WHFR Dearborn. And the last one we didn't talk about in the six that will be on the ballot, and there's five or six from Wayne County. And by the way, I'll just sum up. I've looked over those. They're changing the Wayne County Constitution. I don't see a problem with any of them. I don't think any are controversial. So you could say yes to those, but don't believe me. You better read them yourself.
Right.
We'll maybe try to cover them in the future if we have some time.
I think we will.
But they're kind of hidden, and you probably won't even know that it's going to be on the ballot. There won't be much coverage, but I don't think they're endangering anything. The last one is collective bargaining rights for healthcare workers. The question is, for people that come especially to your house to provide hospice care or long-term care, should they be unionized? Well, again, unions usually create standards. Okay, work standards and workplace standards too. That's one of the great benefits of unions. And will it raise costs slightly? Yes, but will it help regulate excesses and problems both for the workers and for the patients? Yes, it will help. It won't cause trouble. It'll take care of those problems. And begin to resolve them as long as these healthcare workers can have the support and the direction from their own union that they'll decide on who's going to be controlling it and what's going to happen. So don't say no to unions.
One of the other proposals, and I know you brought it up, but we didn't go into any detail at all or summarize it, was the 25 and 25.
Oh, which, I'm sorry.
That's
yeah.
okay. But then okay. We,
we've talked about that in the
we've
past.
We've talked many times. Sure.
The one thing we have to say here, and Snyder's against it because for the same administrative reasons, it might box him in. Of course, he won't be here in 2025. He was have to worry. But I understand, as a chief administrator, you don't want anything to box you in. You want to be a dictator if you want to be. I'm sorry, he may not really want to be a dictator, but I'm sure he'd like to after battling with the legislature, even the Republicans there for the last 2 years. Would like to have their way with nobody able to stop them.
Especially if
we?
You feel you're right. Absolutely.
Well, of course we all feel we're right, yeah. Until other people prove us wrong or throw us in jail.
Yeah, right.
But